just too hard.
When visiting Bangkok during the 1997 Thai economic turmoil, I was talking with an American diplomat there about what this setback meant for Thailand. Specifically, we talked about all the things that Thailand was going to have to do in a very short period of time to get its software and operating systems up to speed to thrive in the globalization game. The diplomat ticked off a whole laundry list for me, and when he got done, I said to him, "You know, we're asking Thailand to do in 20 years what it took the United States to do in 200 years. "No, no," he said to me, shaking his head. "We're not asking them to do it in 20 years. We're asking them to do it in 1 year." It is now obvious that a country's power and status in the era of globalization is going to be a function, in part, of how much it is able and willing to develop the right software and operating systems needed to thrive. But what if the process of developing these institutions, liberalizing markets, and putting on the golden straitjacket proves to be just too hard for too many big countries? While politicians and their followers will put up with a lot of pain and austerity in order to get to Disney World, there are limits. As Henry Kissinger once put it, political leaders cannot survive as advocates of near-permanent austerity on the basis of directives imposed from abroad. If one dates today's globalization system from the fall of the Berlin Wall, then we could say the system is about to enter its second decade. What we have seen in the first decade of this globalization system is what happens when some countries, Bosnia, Albania, Algeria, Serbia, Syria, and many African states, are unable to make the transition. But these states are weak enough and small enough that the system just builds a firewall around them. As we enter the second decade, though, we are encountering a much more serious question. What if some very large states, such as Russia, China, and Japan, not to mention Indonesia, Brazil, or even some members of the European Monetary Union, fail to make the transition? What if they find it too painful to put on the golden straitjacket, or their societies just can't make the cultural, political, and economic shift to a more brutal, in-your-face, Schumpeterian capitalism where you shoot the failed companies and don't keep them on respirators for years on end? The three democratizations may have made the collapse of the Soviet Union and China's communist-era economy inevitable. They may have made the collapse of Albania's or Indonesia's corrupt regimes inevitable. They may have made the collapse of Japan's rigged and overly protected economic system inevitable. But this doesn't mean their success at the new globalization system is inevitable.